For Theatre Talk on WBFO, I'm Anthony Chase.
And I'm Peter Hall.
And I took myself off to New York City, which is, I must say, the Christmas capital of the world.
Now, isn't that odd? Manhattan, the center of financial power. It's also the Christmas capital of the world.
It certainly is. And, you know, there are other cities that are colder. Minneapolis gets more snow. Chicago would have a good chance. Boston. But no, it's New York City to see the tree in Rockefeller Plaza, which is just stunning. And the perfection of the crowd management around that area of town where they close off the blocks leading to Rockefeller Plaza. And police are directing not just the traffic, but the pedestrians as well. So though there are tons of people, you don't feel as if there are. And those shop windows, off the chart, incredible.
Well, I have a theory. There's so many Broadway designers in the city. They can't all be working so they make the city beautiful.
They certainly do. Yeah. And then to walk through Times Square, and I think most people know that in Times Square you can buy half-price Broadway tickets. And what's up there? The Radio City Music Hall Christmas Spectacular with the Rockettes. You could have picked up a half-price ticket this weekend if you were so inclined.
But you did not go to New York City to see the Rockettes.
No.
What did you go and what did you see?
Well, it's nothing Christmassy, but I did see some fascinating plays. I saw a new play by Adam Rapp starring Mary Louise Parker called The Sound Inside, in which she plays a Yale creative writing teacher who has one socially inappropriate student. And at every point, you think you know where this plot is going. She tells the audience she has cancer, and you think, oh, this is a play about her dying of cancer. Well, before the play is over, she's in remission. And you think it's a play about this uncommonly gifted young man. And it is, in part, but not the way you think. She tells us a couple of key things about teaching writing. One is that she always has her students read Dostoevsky's Crime and Punishment. Aha, the central character who does not know himself at all. She tells her students not to overwrite the characters, not to fill in too many details so that your reader will do that for you. Well, of course, when we do that in real life, we make all kinds of terrible assumptions about people and we get misled. Well, all of these things come to pass in her own interactions with this young man. And I don't know how much to give away.
Well, is the relationship between professor and student what we might call inappropriate?
No, not in a sexual way. She does feel a level of intimacy with him that when she thinks that she is terminal, she asks him to be her suicide buddy. She thinks she knows him so well, but she is wrong. And she wakes up after the suicide attempt, finding he's only given her the first of three injections. He knocked her out and then disappears, leaving behind the only copy of his brilliant novel. I've told too much, but only to whet the appetite of people for this really brilliant play. Oh, come on. We know the end of Oedipus before the play starts as well. But
I didn't mean to give you that look.
And coupled on that, a play I saw at Lincoln Center, I only went because Judith Ivey was in it, a play called Greater Clements. Clements is a fictitious mining town in northern Idaho. And as the play begins, this dying town with a defunct mine has voted to disincorporate. They're no longer a town. And Judith Ivey plays a woman, many generations of her family in this town having died in this mine, and a son who seems to have schizophrenia of some kind. And a little thread from her youth happens. Her boyfriend from high school, who she wanted to marry, but her father wouldn't let her because he was a Japanese-American back in the time when there were the
camps
in places like Idaho. And he's back and he's widowed and he wants to try again. And they're nearly 70.
Well, this sounds charming and uplifting.
Oh, no. It is a tragedy. Before it's gone, she's sacrificed her future and given away her past. And again, surprising ways. I think the through line is, you know, you wonder, where will drama go after the modern drama, after women, after gay people, you know, civil rights? And then you start getting plays like Slave Play. Angels in America did not sum everything up. With these plays, we remember we never fully know ourselves and we never fully understand others. We never fully understand our motivations. Sometimes we don't recognize the bad decisions we have made, even after we've suffered the consequences.
I'm noticing neither of these plays ends with everything wrapped up neatly with a bow. Ta-da, finale. They're not that kind of play.
No, this is not the well-made play. That is the hallmark of the modern drama. Ibsen gives us this. You know, Nora slams the door. Well, what happens to her? No simple resolutions. Even when it appears to be, that's the thrilling thing about The Sound Inside. She thinks she has a happy resolution, and the audience knows she hasn't. She's wrong. Similarly, Judith Ivy in the final scene, the audience sees that she had every opportunity to seize her happiness, every opportunity, and she didn't.
Well, back here at home, I went over to the Alleyways, A Christmas Carol. It's their 37th production, and I went out of a sense of loyalty. It was great. And I asked some of the actors, what's going on? And they said, we have everybody back that we had last year. We even skipped a rehearsal. We were so simpatico. And it was odd how that little fact just makes the show blossom.
And it is such a beautiful story. Yes, it comes every year. But I do feel a need every few years to go back to renew. For Theater Talk on WBFO,
I'm Peter Hall.
And I'm Anthony Chase.